Hi, everybody. I am Damon, and my fun fact today is I am obsessed with pickled ginger.
I'm just imagining you standing in your kitchen in the dark at like 3 a.m. with just a bowl of pickled ginger that you're just picking with your fingers frantically, like a raccoon.
You are not wrong. I mean, I literally bought 6 jars of it once, like, and I'm talking like big, like 32-ounce jars of pickled ginger. Yeah.
Are your intestines pickled?
Probably.
I bet you have really good microbiome, though.
Yeah. I mean, so when I lived in Lansing, we used to go to this restaurant and get our nice, delicious vegan sushi. And I'd say, oh, can I have extra ginger with mine? And then they'd look at me and I'm like, yes, extra ginger. And I mean, like,
oh my gosh,
more than you think extra ginger, like 6 times the amount of ginger, okay? And they
a little pile.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Oh my goodness. Hello, I'm Shelby, and a fun fact about me is that I have adopted a one-eared stray cat named Chungus.
Chungus?
Chungus.
Like C-H-U-N-G-U-S?
Exactly.
Wow, that's wonderful.
I thought that he was really fat at first, but then the more I saw him, I realized he was kind of small, so it's not a fitting name. And he looks really angry all the time because he has one ear and like some little scars on his face, and he's always kind of scowling. So he's like half possum, half cat.
That totally sounds like an animated character or something.
Doesn't sound like Chungus, does it? But it somehow fits. I can't change it.
Hey, I am all for that.
Thank you. Welcome to the Protagonist Project, a podcast where we rate the characters of a selected novel with stars. Our current book is Murder Can Mess Up Your Masterpiece by Rose Pressey, and we're doing chapters 13 through 15 today. How'd you feel about those chapters?
Well, you know, when I first read them, I was not super impressed, but I think there's a lot for us to talk about here.
I thought they were really boring at first, and then kind of with another glance, there are some little gems to pick out and munch on.
I think good. We definitely need to teach Celeste about consent, though, because there's some major, major issues here.
Oh, tell me more now, or are we going to...
As we go through.
Okay, I am very interested to hear. Okay, so should we start with chapter 13?
No, let's start at 15.
As I asked, I knew you were going to do that.
Okay, so chapter 13. 13, for real 13.
So we start off, it was a little confusing how this goes, but we start off, it seems like it's the beginning of the day, and Celeste is setting up her paintings to sell. Did you get that impression as well? Okay. Weird. I'll come back to that later. But she's going to sell her paintings, and Caleb comes up behind her and kind of goes, "Looks good," and just scares the life out of her, which was very creepy. And then he starts looking over Celeste's paintings, and she says, "No matter how many paintings I sold, I always felt self-conscious when people looked at my work. Did Caleb hate them?" And then when Caleb says that he wants to buy one because he likes it so much, she's thinking, "I almost asked why, but that would be an odd thing to ask of a customer. If he wanted to buy, I certainly couldn't refuse. Maybe he likes my work after all." So basically, Celeste knows that her paintings are tacky.
Yep, she totally does.
Good, good. And then Caleb is trying to pick a painting, and he asks Celeste, "Well, which one is your favorite?" And Celeste says, "That's like asking a mother to pick her favorite child." Okay, Celeste, no, it is not. When I make and sell art, I have favorites, and I save them for myself. You definitely have favorites. Kind of like what you're doing with the painting of Elizabeth that you're keeping around.
Yep, which literally happens a second later. He stops in front of the painting of Elizabeth, and she's like, "Oh no, I knew I should have removed it. I'd have to tell him it wasn't for sale." Yeah. Yep.
And then he kind of asks her about it a little, and I was surprised. Celeste actually told Caleb that the painting was haunted by a ghost named Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of, though. First he told her that the woman who returned it thought it was haunted. And there is a great line in there where, so she goes, "She claimed the painting was haunted." Caleb chuckled. "Was she serious?" She said she saw a ghost. It was the woman from the painting. Caleb shook his head. She probably just dreamed it. There are crazy people out there. And then Celeste internally says, yes, crazy people, as in murderers. Yep. Yep.
Celeste really
blows my mind. But then, yeah, doesn't she tell him about... she says she saw the ghost, too, right after that. So it was weird how quickly she opened up about that. Especially when she's like, maybe he's a murderer. I'm still going to date him, but maybe he's a murderer.
What's great is that Caleb is really chill about it. So that's plus 5 stars to Caleb for being chill about a haunted painting.
Yeah. Do you think he believes
her? Just kind of that he believes her? I don't really care about Caleb, so I don't really think about what he thinks, except that maybe.
He certainly plays along with it. I don't know if he believes her or not.
Yeah, I want him to believe her, just because it would be more fun this way.
Sure.
So, I don't know. But at the same time, if he didn't, that would also be really funny, because Celeste is just really making herself look a fool right now. But he's really chill about the haunted painting, and Caleb wants to adopt Elizabeth like a puppy to see if she follows him home.
Well, first he wants to buy her, and he takes out a wad of cash. And she's like, wow, that was a lot of money. I didn't realize he sold so many of his sculptures.
And then when she asks him how business has been, he says, oh, business is bad.
Yeah, and like every time she sees anybody else with money, she's like, they have money. I wonder if they stole it. But when Caleb had money, he sold all his sculptures.
Yeah, she kind of just says, oh, well, I wonder why he has so much cash on him when there's been theft recently. He should probably be more careful. She doesn't seem suspicious.
Yep. But yeah, so then he does, like, adopt Elizabeth, more or less. She lets him borrow
her. Celeste insists that he not buy her, just take the painting home and see if the ghost appears for him.
Right, so here is instance one of Celeste having issues with consent, because during this exchange, Elizabeth appears and is like, I don't want to go with him. Don't make me go with him. I want to stay with you. And then she just ignores Elizabeth and just, like, gives him the painting to bring with him. So it's like, you are not listening to her wants and needs whatsoever, Celeste.
No, and I almost didn't really see the point in giving away the painting. She didn't want to give the painting away in the first place, which is why she had wanted to keep it tucked away, but thought it was silly, so she brought it out. But she had no intentions of giving or selling the painting to anyone.
Well, she did say she wanted she wanted Elizabeth to appear to somebody else, like she wanted somebody else to see her. But
yes.
That's not a reason, especially when Elizabeth is saying, no, please don't.
It seems very on the spot.
Yeah.
Very quick decision on Celeste's part, and I definitely see your point about not caring at all what Elizabeth wants, which is not great friend material. I get that she's haunting your very life, but she's still a okay friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, as Caleb is taking the painting, Celeste drops the best line of the whole book.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Just because he's finer than frog hair, I couldn't tell him no.
Yeah, finer than frog hair. And you know, so that's like an expression that people actually use?
Yeah, I did look it up. Did you look it up immediately after? Because you
I'm looking it up right now, and
I think it's a pretty Southern expression. You know, Celeste is Southern.
Well, it originated in the UK.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think the author understands what it means.
So, oh.
it generally means slender. And she's just saying he's attractive. Like, as fine as frog's hair, because frog's hair is so, like, thin and small. That's somebody who's extremely thin and slender. But that's not what she means there.
Oh.
She means, like, fine, like, he's so fine. There is a southern variant of it, though, which is slippery as frog's hair. Which
ew.
Is,
not attractive.
Well, that is more about stealing money.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Which, I wish that we could hear that expression in this book.
Yep.
Maybe we will. We still have like half of the book to get through.
I guess, yeah, we'll have to see what happens. So yes, Caleb is finer than frog hair.
And as he's taking away the painting, he's like, hippity hoppity, you're now my property. And Elizabeth is not happy about that.
Yep.
And then so the weird part about this chapter is, like I said in the beginning, it seemed like she was about to start selling, so it was early in the morning. But then at the end of the chapter, it just goes into, like, it's dark out, so then I went into my camper and went to bed. I felt really guilty and creeped out about ghosts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so it must have just been, like, you know, at the end of the day. But it really seemed like she immediately put the paintings away and went to sleep. So I was confused.
Yeah, the whole timeline in this book is a little bit weird. I agree.
Okay.
I didn't think too hard of it. I thought of it more as it might have happened in the morning and then more time passed in between that's just not accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
That works, I guess. I just didn't catch that at all, so I was just thrown darkness there. And I thought that this day, I could be totally confused because we're reading this book a little bit slowly. I could be totally confused, but I thought that this day that she was selling her paintings was the last day of the craft fair and that, you know, some action was going to start happening, but the day was just kind of over and it threw me. And then we're immediately launched into the next day in chapter 14.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, so I just kind of went with it. So unless you have anything else about chapter 13, I will launch into the next one.
Chapter 14 it is.
Okay, so we're at a scene where Celeste is falling into step behind Carly Coy, who drops her bag and spills a wad of cash and a wood carving knife from her bag. So right off, I'm going to say plus 50 stars to Damon for being right about Carly Coy being.
I told you she was suspicious.
And minus 25 stars to Carly for being a really bad murderer. Weapon in the purse? Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, and not even just a carving knife, but it looked a lot like the one that had been sticking out from Evan's neck. And Carly didn't sculpt as far as Celeste knew.
Mm. Right. And so when Celeste catches up with Carly, Carly just kind of says that she just started wood carving and she's not very good at it yet. And she kind of hurries away. And Celeste finds this suspicious. And instead of calling the detective, she decides to go snoop around Carly's booth.
Yeah. Oh.
So, okay. A note for Celeste. Why would Carly Coy keep woodwork around her display booth, which is what Celeste is going to take a look at, when Carly just said that she was self-conscious about her wood carving because she wasn't very good at it yet? Why does Celeste think that going to her display booth is going to find any evidence?
Yeah, I don't understand that either, unless she's thinking that, like, in between customers, Carly is practicing her carving and maybe has one sitting down there that she's working on or something. But I agree,
yeah,
like, if I try something new, I'm not going to have it out for everybody to see right away. And yeah, it's a believable alibi.
I guess so. And so Celeste goes over there and just has a casual look around. And she says, I scanned the area for anything suspicious. I wasn't even sure what to look for. You know who would know what to look for? The detective. Why don't you tell him?
Yeah, absolutely.
We should come to expect this kind of material from Celeste at this point, but it still just hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Especially when her investigation is really boring. She doesn't even find anything, and she's just kind of walking around the booth. And then she was about to look in Carly's window, I think, when Carly came back and was angry that Celeste was messing around her trailer. And so Celeste offers the explanation that she was trying to protect Carly's trailer after seeing someone else suspicious looking in her window.
Yep. Yeah. Which, to be fair, that's a fair reaction from Carly.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. And Celeste had a really bad explanation for being there. Like, oh, someone else was looking in your window. I'm just trying to help.
Yep.
And Carly goes, you're kind of nosy, and sort of mentions that Celeste is a murder suspect. And Celeste just kind of goes, no, you're suspicious. And then... It really heats up because Carly comes after Celeste. Did you just imagine, like, Carly pulling that knife out of her bag and Celeste running away in her little pink shirt and her little tennis shoes? Oh, my goodness. So then, you know, Carly's going after Celeste and Caleb saves the day. He just kind of walks up and says, come on, Celeste, let's go. And they leave, I guess.
Yep. Oh, but not That's before... It. Before Caleb came, there were some great lines, too.
She okay.
Goes, Carly goes, if I catch you around my trailer again, you'll be sorry. I'll give you something to be afraid of. And then Celeste is like, oh, she seemed so nice at first. Now she seemed like she wanted to kill me.
She sure does, Celeste.
Wasn't Carly the one that also was stabbed the leather when it came to talking about Evan early on? Or was that...
I think it was Char.
Okay, I get the two of them mixed up.
You're wrong. I know, me too. So, what happens after that?
So, Caleb comes to save the day.
Oh, yes. Caleb came and saved the day. Do you have anything else about that scene?
Not really.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of boring. Yeah. So, Celeste's little investigation was really boring, and it was useless, and all she got was chased around by a person with a knife. So, whatever. Then Celeste wakes up early in the morning, and Elizabeth the ghost is there, and she's not happy about Caleb having her painting.
Nope.
And Celeste is wondering why on earth Elizabeth is there, and Elizabeth is kind of like, I'm a ghost. I don't know anything. I'm not going to appear to Caleb, so I'm here in your trailer. Okay. So then Sammy, who is Celeste's best friend, calls and says that she's going to pick up Celeste for breakfast, and Celeste suggests to Elizabeth that she should show herself to Sammy, saying, you'll love Sammy. Would I have bad taste in friends? And then the best line of the whole book comes around where Elizabeth goes, you seem to like everyone. Life is puppies, rainbows, and candy as far as you're concerned.
Yep. I'm observant.
I have eyes. I can see that you make really poor choices and trust everyone.
Yep.
And so that's kind of all that I have. The chapter ends with Sammy coming to pick up Celeste for breakfast, and Elizabeth seems to have revealed herself, but Sammy can't see her yet.
Yeah, so there was another consent thing in there where she's just like, you should reveal yourself to Sammy. And she's like, I don't think I'm comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable being around people. And Celeste was like, well, you should, so people believe me.
Even when it's all about someone else, it's still about Celeste.
Yep.
Classic Celeste move.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else for 14, did you?
No.
Okay.
And chapter 15 is really boring.
I liked chapter 15, actually.
Okay, then I will have, you know, if there are any details I skip, just throw them at me, because I skipped a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so we start off this chapter with Sammy seeing Elizabeth the ghost in the truck sitting between Sammy and Celeste, and after a momentary freak out, Sammy just kind of goes with it. Mm-hmm. And then to Aunt Patsy's diner, where they're going to have breakfast with Celeste's whole family, and Papa's there! Hee-hee! He's the one.
Yes, good he is.
And so Celeste decides not to tell her family about Elizabeth, especially because she hasn't revealed herself to the whole family. But Sammy beats her to it and tells everyone that they've been hanging out with a ghost this morning. And Papa goes,
yeah, have you been drinking already?
That's plus 20 stars to Papa for keeping it real.
Oh, goodness.
And then it seems that Celeste's grandma believes them. She says, oh, I can sense her. When she wants to show herself, she will. So, okay, go.
And, like, good job, Grandma, for allowing the ghost to show herself in her own time, not trying to force her into it.
That's plus 8 points to Granny for understanding the basics of consent.
Yes, and I also think Grandma will be a big player in solving things because she just seems to understand mystical things better than most people.
Ooh, good prediction. I did not give Granny much thought. So my guess is that Papa is actually the murderer because he like tripped and accidentally stabbed somebody.
I hope that they go to, remember last time there was like, they realized that Elizabeth might be from this mansion somewhere, the Historic Society or whatever it was called. I hope they go there to investigate and bring Grandma with them.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
But at the same time, that almost doesn't fit the feel of this book because we're trying to figure out the murder. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but what if we find the evidence for the murder in the house?
That's true.
Oh my gosh. It's a little far-fetched, but it could unfold. We don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else happens? The family is interrogating Celeste about the ghost, and then they just drop it and start talking about other stuff. Did you notice that?
There's some great interaction in the ghost stuff. So, Aunt Patsy officially believes in ghosts. So, plus 5 to Aunt Patsy for being open-minded.
Great.
Mother wants to investigate more. She wants to see the images in the paintings. Grandma makes another astute comment saying that the spirits are talking with her, just like about Celeste. And Hank, one of her little brothers, after Sammy sees the ghost and says she's beautiful, Hank's like, oh, a babe ghost.
Yep. Oh my god. That's great.
Also, when he's done that, Celeste tossed a grape at him. Have you ever been at a restaurant and had grapes? I don't think I really have.
No, but it sounds great with, like, pancakes and stuff. They were eating French pancakes. Grapes are a great pair.
Yeah, I was surprised to see grape as the food that's mentioned.
Yeah, I want to give plus 2 points to Hank for being a dude bro about the ghost.
I want to just take them away from him, but we'll go with yours.
And that's minus 2 stars from Hank for being a dude bro.
yep.
Okay. And then, the very last thing is that Celeste sees Caleb in the parking lot of the diner walking towards the restaurant. And he comes into the diner. And so the whole family sees him and they invite him to join them for breakfast. And so I think he's just sitting down when the chapter ends.
Yeah, and something that's weird is that, like, the mother invites him to sit down. She's like, oh, there's an empty chair and it's waiting for you. And Celeste isn't the one to reply to that. Sammy is the one. And she goes, actually, and then the chapter is done. So yeah. I wonder what Sammy's going to say.
You know, I thought it was going to be something exciting at first. And then I think she was just so, like, wrapped up in the ghost that she was just saying, actually, there's someone sitting there. It's a ghost.
Oh, that's right.
I know.
You're right. I forgot about that. I highlighted it and I forgot that. Because she knew that Elizabeth was sitting there. So there wasn't an empty chair. Okay.
But when I read it at first, too, I was like, oh, my God, there's going to be a secret.
Yeah. No. It was much more simple than that.
Nothing juicy, I know. So it's kind of a boring chapter.
I like that we got to see more of the family dynamic.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Papa seems like a completely different person in this chapter. Between his comments about, are you drunk already? And also later on, he's like, have you made much money at the fair? Have you made any money? So
Yeah, he's talking more. His sweet, delightful personality is starting to come out.
Oh, totally sweet and delightful.
I love Papa so much. I'm surprised he didn't start choking on a grape or something.
It's true. I was waiting for that too. There was nothing where he started dying at all in this chapter.
And, okay, do you have anything else about chapters 13 through 15?
I don't, but I am, once again, excited to see where we're going. I hope it picks up a little bit more these next few chapters.
Yeah, me too. I'm really hoping that there's a little more stuff happening instead of just Celeste walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next time we'll be going over chapters 16 through 18. Send messages about the book or a podcast to adult@chromaine.org and read along with us.
See you next time.
Bye.